It's already started with the current conflict in the Middle East. As conditions deteriorate, there will then be an excuse to take drastic actions against perceived enemies. Gamed out since 2021, this will pave the way for the globalist cabal to put their plan in place. Will the internet as we know it disappear in the next year? This analysis by Dr. Joseph Mercola has been fact-checked. You. Story at a glance, choosing between Hamas and the Israeli Defense Forces is a false choice. The side we should be on is the side of innocent civilians, regardless of where they live. Only by being against war will we stand against the correct enemy because, ultimately, most if not all wars are fought for the benefit of central bankers and their globalist allies. Those who side with warmongers choose enslavement and the destruction of mankind, as the saber rattling in the Middle East is a tool to further centralize power and control over the global population. The next action item in the globalist takeover includes a cyberattack on the banks before the end of next year. The cyberattack will destroy the current banking system and usher in programmable central bank digital currencies and eliminate privacy online, requiring everyone to have a digital identification tied to their ISP. All online activity will be surveilled and analyzed by artificial intelligence, and the data used to prevent crime before it happens. Thought crimes will also have ramifications, potentially resulting in the seizure of private property and/or removal of privileges, previously understood as human rights. Everyone must now choose between enslavement or freedom. Not making a conscious choice is itself a choice. If you choose freedom, you need to make plans for how to exist outside the slave system being put into place and support big tech alternatives that offer complete privacy. In my mind, Whitney Webb is one of the best investigative journalists on the web and does meticulous research on the topics she focuses on. In the video above, Marty Bent of the TFTC Bitcoin podcast interviews her about how the central bankers plan to use artificial intelligence, AI, to control the lives of everyone on Earth. To view the interview, click here to watch on YouTube. Language alert. This is one of the most shocking and concerning interviews I have heard in a long time, as it has a dismal prediction as to how it is likely we may have only a year at best and maybe half a year to enjoy the internet as we know it now. Even though it is heavily censored, it is still usable. This basic functionality may disappear if her predictions are accurate. If that is the case, you will not have access to this site or the daily newsletters we provide and all the updates we will issue if this scenario happens. So, to guard against this scenario, I would suggest making sure you sign up to receive messages by texts on your cell phone. You need to connect with us on mobile in case internet is gone. As Whitney explains in her interview above, it is likely that in the next year there will be a false flag cyberattack on the banks similar to 9/11. They will then use this attack to shut down the internet and implement a draconian Cyber Patriot Act. We have no idea of how long the internet will be down, but it could be weeks or longer. We will be unable to provide you with important updates if this happens and we only have your email. That is why I am urging you to please sign up in the form below so we can connect with you by messaging your phone. US phone numbers only. Divide and conquer. As noted by Webb, the string pullers always seek to divide people using emotional appeals, and this situation is a classic case of that. Are you with Hamas, or with the Israeli Defense Forces, IDF? It's a false choice. The side we should be on is the side of innocent civilians, regardless of where they live. We should just step off the chessboard and stop playing their game, she says. Indeed, only by being against war will we stand against the correct enemy because, ultimately, most if not all wars are fought for the benefit of central bankers and their globalist allies, not for the benefit of nations, humanitarian or democratic causes. As noted by Webb, half the population of Gaza are children under the age of 18. i.e., below voting age and did not vote Hamas into power, so promoting the carpet bombing of that area, and the refusal to let humanitarian aid in, there's no celebrating that. Webb also points out there's virtually no chance the Israeli forces did not see the October 7, 2023, attack coming. It's just absurd that they wouldn't have been able to know that was going to happen in advance, Webb says. And there are IDF veterans and Israelis that definitely are no friends of Palestine or Hamas that are saying that's the case. Israel's 9/11, Israel referring to that attack as Israel's 9/11, could be another tip-off. If you're familiar with the realities of 9/11, there's only a few possibilities there. Either it was intentionally done by intelligence agencies, or it was allowed to happen by intelligence agencies. Webb says. So, I think we can assume that similar possibilities may have happened here with Israel. Because before all of this happened, Netanyahu was facing major issues domestically, a huge amount of protests against him, major efforts to remove him from power. As noted by Bent, 9/11 ushered in the Patriot Act, which had clearly been written and was waiting in the wings for just the right moment, that led to the dystopian hellscape that we're currently living in, and it's just mind-boggling that people can't recognize the pattern. It's the same playbook all over again. Indeed, the similarities are striking. The main difference is that we now have hindsight we didn't have in 2001. Today, the ramifications of the Patriot Act have become clear, and as the Great Reset agenda moves forward, we can see how important the implementation of the Patriot Act was to that agenda. During the COVID pandemic, the globalist cabal began to reveal its true intentions like never before. Many of the players ceased to even pretend that it's about anything other than the subjugation of the masses. Since we now know the aim of the globalists is to enslave humanity within a technocratic, transhumanist dystopia where everything we say and do is known by the government and can be used against us, we ought to be very wary about encouraging a war that can then be used to justify a global kind of Patriot Act. Coming soon. Cyber attack on the banks? Web segues into the next action item in the globalist takeover, which appears to include a cyber attack on the banks sometime before the end of next year. There's a public-private partnership, the Partnership Against Cybercrime, housed within the World Economic Forum, WEF, and the groups that compose this partnership are the FBI, the DOJ, the Secret Service, one of Israel's security agencies, the UK National Crime Agency, a bunch of banks and a few tech companies. Palantir, PayPal, Microsoft. They're led by a former Israeli spy named Tal Goldstein. Jeremy Jurgens, who is number two at the WEF after Klaus Schwab, at the big WEF meeting earlier this year was like, yep, there will be a big, giant cyber attack before 2025. The Partnership Against Cybercrime, that's the DOJ and all of these guys, say that it's going to be a cyber attack on the banks. Isn't that convenient? The banks can just be like, we've collapsed, but it wasn't our fault. It was the fault of these nasty hackers. And I'm sure the hackers will be Hamas and Iran. They can blame anyone, because as we know from Vault 7 and WikiLeaks that the CIA has the ability to frame literally any government it wants, or any group it wants, for a cyber attack, and the CIA lost control of those tools, hence WikiLeaks obtaining them and publishing them. So anyone can do it, and anyone can blame anyone, so it's very difficult to attribute. Even if you look at headlines about cyber attacks that have happened over the past several years, it's usually a cybersecurity company that, if you look on its website, was created by NQ Telephone, the CIA, or by Israel's Unit 8200, which is Israel's NSA equivalent, and they're saying stuff like, high probability that it might have been these guys and our proof is that we don't have any proof, but it looks like something we think they did before. I mean, there's no evidence for anything but out of that go bloody gook you get a headline that says, Chinese hackers responsible, or, Iranian hackers responsible, and that's all people see in red. As noted by Bent, it's very easy to see that we could be in chapter 1 of a systemic bank failure. It starts with this conflict in the Middle East, it keeps rising and then there's an excuse to begin cyber attacking perceived enemies and that's how the banks get attacked. According to Webb, a group of big banks affiliated with the WEF called the Fluorine Monosulfide ISAC, the Financial Services Information Sharing and Analysis Center, has been gaming this out since 2021. They collaborated with the European Central Bank, the Fed, Federal Reserve, and the Carnegie Endowment, which at the time was run by the current CIA director William Burns, talking about exactly how the cyber attack on the banks was going to play out. CBDCs by any other name are still CBDCs. Once the banks have been taken down in a major cyber attack, the central banks will then save the day by introducing a programmable central bank digital currency, CBDC, where every transaction can be traced. In areas where public awareness about the risks of CBDCs is too great, such as the US, they may try to keep the two-tier system as it exists under the current FedNow system. As explained by Webb, the CBDCs exist, but the public doesn't necessarily interact with it, which is essentially what FedNow is going to be. It's about settlements between banks. They'll use the CBDC. The public will interact instead with deposit tokens that'll be issued by the commercial banks. They're not called CBDCs but they're programmable money, and they're going to run on the rails of FedNow. All the big banks have signed on to the concept of deposit tokens and tokenized assets, and the control system that comes with it. The head of JP Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon, recently suggested that private property should be seized for the purpose of combating climate change, and that's precisely what they'll be able to do with tokenized assets. So, it doesn't have to be a CBDC to have the same consequences, Webb says. The end of online anonymity. The second thing that will happen once the cyberattack on the banks has occurred is the elimination of online anonymity. Everyone must choose between freedom and enslavement, and the option to choose freedom is rapidly closing. The principles of Know Your Customer, KYC, will be imposed on everybody for everything, and anything that doesn't have that will be made illegal under national security justifications. Essentially, what we're looking at is a Cyber Patriot Act, which will allow for the unfettered surveillance of everyone's online activities, and the ability to restrict or block access to the internet. Of course, the end of online anonymity means tying a government-issued, digital, ID to your internet access, at the ISP level, and that's what they've mapped out. The internet as you know it will not exist after this happens. Webb says, the goal is no anonymity, period, and to have everything you do surveilled and compiled, and to have AI oversee it all and do this predictive policing, pre-crime stuff based on what you've already done, and what you will do. So, the most important thing to do is not to participate in the system after that event. Just don't do it. I would say, if you want some of the stuff that's on the internet now, in terms of knowledge, back that up offline. Download it, put it on hard drives. Faraday bag it, keep it safe, because if you might want that stuff after all this happens, and you don't want to have to get the cattle tag to be able to be online, definitely think ahead. Because if you want to believe what the WEF says about this timeline, and I would take them seriously, you've got a year, give or take a few months, before the internet gets nuked. Warning signs of what's to come. If all of that sounds unbelievable, look at what's happened already. As noted by Webb, Microsoft recently announced that when you use Microsoft Windows, your data is no longer your data. Microsoft can use your data without your consent to train their AI, and you cannot opt out of this. What's more, Microsoft can delete your data if they so choose, and block you from accessing your device by blocking your Microsoft ID. Where Microsoft is going, you're not going to be able to keep access to your own data unless you avoid committing thought crime. If you're serious about fighting this stuff, you have no excuse to not invest in some sort of freedom tech stuff. So, I definitely think people need to put a lot more attention, considering what we're facing, and support developers that are developing that tech. There's a huge need for to divest from big tech as much as possible, and it needs to happen quickly, because the choice is either participate in the system being designed for you by crazy people and become a slave, or don't become a slave. And if you don't want to be a slave, you have to invest now in big tech alternatives, unless you want to live a completely analog life. The easiest route is to go the slavery route, and that's how they've designed it on purpose. The whole selling point of that system is that it's convenient and easy. So, obviously, it's going to take some work to go the other route, but the future of human freedom depends on it, so I think it's a pretty easy choice. One example of freedom tech mentioned in the interview is Above Phone 1, which offers de-Googled smartphones and laptops, AI tyranny and a two-tier society. Webb recently wrote an article for Catherine Austin Fitz's Solari Report on Artificial Intelligence, based on The Age of AI and Our Human Future, a book by Henry Kissinger and former Google CEO Eric Schmidt. Her article is titled, The Final Coup, because that's what she believes AI really is all about. Their argument is, AI is going to be so much smarter than us that it's going to be able to see aspects of reality that we can't see, and, we should definitely trust that whatever it tells us is in this invisible hidden reality is totally reality, and not just some AI hallucination, which is an actual term. That's a real phenomenon, where AI presents something provably false as fact. It could very easily be that whatever this reality is that AI is identifying is delusional, or just made up. Anyway, they don't bring that up in their book at all. They just say AI is going to allow us to pursue this awesome quest for super knowledge and we're going to be able to see unseen realities. But there's a trade-off, they say, and the trade-off is that in order to unlock AI's full potential, we have to essentially sell off our ability to perceive reality. We have to deepen our involvement with AI to the point where we're dependent on AI to make decisions for us, and we become cognitively diminished by AI. Meaning that we aren't using our brains like we did before to make decisions and reason and perceive reality. AI is doing all of that for us. That's what they envision, and that's very dystopian, but then they start talking about this two-tier society model. This AI revolution will be very empowering for some people, the policymakers, the heads of multinational corporations, the people who design AI and code it and task it and regulate it. They'll find this very empowering. But the people who consume AI, everyone else, really, will be bewildered by its opaque decision-making. they'll be disempowered or find it disconcerting, and won't really have any control over their lives anymore. And then, over time, will cease to be able to realize what's happening to them. That's literally what the book is about. They talk about how AI is going to draw people, mainly this disempowered class, into a new version of reality that is being designed by the empowered class, the technocrats. It's very Matrix-esque and very creepy. It also has to do with what they say is going to be AI control over the information space. Of course, that's going to really come into its own once both AI and the internet are heavily regulated by a centralized authority, which is what the UN is gearing up to do next year. If the UN gets its way, AI will not only censor the internet, it will write all the information you can access on the internet, and the UN will be the central authority of it all. As noted by Webb, this book is important, because Schmidt is the de facto AI czar in the US. He funds all the AI experts in President Biden's administration, even though it's illegal for him to do so, and develops the administration's AI policies. So, he's actively driving the US agenda for AI development, adoption and expansion. A choice that must be made. Webb is a figurative fire hydrant of information. People, organizations, companies and the linkages between them. So for more details, you'll definitely want to set aside the time to listen to this interview. I've only skimmed the surface of everything she discusses. The key takeaway here, though, is this. Everyone must choose between freedom and enslavement, not just for themselves but also for their descendants for generations to come. And the option to choose freedom is rapidly closing. Putting off making that choice is itself a choice. You're automatically choosing enslavement and, ultimately, the destruction of humankind itself. What will yours be?